The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to burst. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were astounded at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Bless you. So I have a bit of a confession here for all of you. Some of you already know this about me, but I think I've been here long enough to share it with everybody. I don't like fishing. I don't even like the taste of fish, much less the smell of fish. When we plan where we're going out to eat on Fridays, we will check to see if they have a fish fry so that way we can avoid it. And by the way, Monk's doesn't post it on their website, but they do indeed have a fish fry. When I traveled to Norway, and all of my classmates went to the fish market on the fjord, I went across the street to the Burger King. And the next day, when we went to another fish market, because Norway, I got Swedish meatballs in Norway. So I don't really know the first thing about fishing. A fact that my internship supervisor would often poke fun at any time fish would show up in our lectionary, as the young intern that still had much to learn about fishing and therefore about life. But while I may not know anything about fishing, I do know what it feels like to come up short. And I don't just mean in my stature, right? But I know what it means to hit a wall of failure. Because when we look at this story, these fishers, they're not the recreational fishers like most of us here today, right, that do fish. They weren't catching and releasing, but this fishing that we see here was their livelihood. Everything that they were was wrapped up in their fishing. It had become their whole identity. For them to go a whole night and not catch a single thing possibly means a day without wages for them and for their families. And we know from other pieces of scripture that at least Simon Peter has a wife. So there are other mouths to feed in this situation. So to not catch even a single fish, it's a pretty big deal. And that, I think, is something that even us fish haters can relate to in this story. right? Because we all have those moments where we have hit a wall, when we feel like a letdown, when we feel so overwhelmed by, well, just everything that is going on. When we think of what we should have done, or when we could have done more, right? We get into the what ifs of a situation. What if I had started sooner? Picked that better fishing spot, gone to a different school, picked a different major, not gotten pregnant so young or so early, studied harder for the bar exam or that different test or whatever it is, right? What if? But the what ifs, they do not change the present. So at some point, you realize, as the disciples, that you need to just wash your nets and head home. And just as you are ready to give it all up, throw in the towel, a voice calls out and says, "Now just you wait. I still have plans for you that are bigger than this." And then you might be thinking, who am I? Right? Who am I that God would take notice of me? Who are you indeed? That's the question that is asked over and over again in Scripture. Who am I that God would take notice of me? But we find when we start to ask such things, God does away with all of our excuses. God does away with all of the reasons why we might be asking, why me? When Moses says that, "God, I can't speak well enough to be your prophet," he sends his brother Aaron to speak in his place. When Isaiah says, "But Lord, I have unclean lips," Isaiah says, or God says, "No problem, bud," and takes a coal and, ow, right? God calls on one who formerly prosecuted Christians to become one of the most famous Christians of the early church. And Jesus calls on these failed fishers to then fish for people. And they do it because something in what Jesus is saying to them that day gives hope for Simon Peter to try just one more time to cast his net back into the water. These ordinary people, time and time again, go out into the world and do these extraordinary things for the sake of the gospel, so they might know the love of God, so the world might know the love of God, to bring hope to the hopeless. Because when we get to those moments, when we have nothing else left to give, we find strength in God. We find a God that has always been with us in the people that God has placed in our lives and in the ways that God continues to be present. And when you hit a wall or are too tired to go on, it is Jesus that says, "Listen to my voice. Trust in me and follow me, and I will show you the way." Do not lose hope, dearest siblings in Christ. Do not lose hope if you are feeling overwhelmed, or as if you are hitting a wall in your career, your life, or just in general, right? Do not lose hope. For there is hope in Jesus Christ, even if that means something or some things might have to change, as they so often do when we reorient ourselves back towards following in the way of Jesus Christ. Just as the disciples had to leave everything behind as they followed Jesus Christ, right? All of you have a place in this larger mission of the church. You don't have to be a pastor or a deacon or future deacon or on the council or the council president. These dudes, they were just fishers, right? They were just fishers. Smelly, stinky fishers. Nothing special about them, really. What really amazes me about this narrative here is that Jesus uses language that they are familiar with when calling them to this new thing, meets them where they are at. Because you see, when calling Matthew and Levi the tax collectors, Jesus doesn't repeat the same language. He doesn't say, go out and you will be catching people. No, this is exclusively for those who are already catching fish. Because God in Jesus, time and time again, meets us where we are at. Use the gifts that you already have to serve the world around you. I think a perfect example of this is seminary. Seminary is this wild mix of people from different backgrounds, all aiming to serve the church, right? Now, I came from a background in music and religion, but very few of my classmates had ever actually taken a religion course in college like I had. Many of my classes were made up of former teachers, writers, doctors, stay-at-home parents, military veterans, police officers, and one who was even a retired judge wanting to start a second career. Imagine that. Most of us now have calls, but none of us have calls that look the same because none of us are the same. We all use our backgrounds and our gifts to best serve the people of God that God has called us to serve. The world, too, needs you and all of the gifts that you have to provide. Surely, there is at least one thing that you can do that somebody else cannot. Where you can send a message of Jesus' love in such a way that reminds them that they are not alone. That they too are indeed worthy of the love shown to all people through the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. Because folks, we are being sent out not in a way of trapping and tricking people, right? That is not what this catching means. Not trapping and tricking people into the love of God like some wild animals, but to capture their attention through this abounding love and radical grace that we have first been shown by God. Missio Dei. It's Latin for the mission of God, and it's often used when talking about global mission as a way of living out Missio Dei by the sharing of gifts and talents to address human needs, such as poverty, hunger, illness, inequality, or discrimination, and to build communities that exist in peace. Missio Dei, the mission of God. And the question becomes, how do you participate in the Missio Dei? By using your talents and gifts. We recognize Jesus Christ as the hope of all people that can bring an end to suffering. A hope that tells people that they are enough and that they are worthy of all the love that they receive and will receive. And you can help bring that hope as one who has been called child of the Most High. You who are bearers of Christ, who have been marked by the cross of Christ now and forever through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.